Ezekiel chapter number 18. I always like using and going to the Old Testament references. It's always a help to us. All right. Well, we've been going through in the month of October, between the storms, looking at the storms of life and what to do. I said before, but everyone in here just came out of a storm. You're in between a storm, or you're about to go back into a storm, and we think about that this morning. It's a little depressing to think about, but it's not, because we've been looking at over this month that we have a wonderful Savior that knows exactly where we are and what we can handle, and what He's doing in our lives is for our good and for His glory. Now this morning we're going to continue and wrap this, I guess, series up of these messages in the month of October as we see between the storms, and the question is posed this morning, is God fair? You ever thought about that or asked that question? I know some of you have gone through some things that you've told me about personally that are very hard, very difficult seasons in your life. And the question arises, is God fair? Is He a fair God? Now, another word that's used, primarily the word used in Scripture, is that word just. God is just. Now, we use the word fair today, but anyways, I want you to notice this. Notice down in verse 25, if you will, Ezekiel 18, 25, here's the question is asked, is God fair? Verse 25, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. It's not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal and not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, committeth iniquity, and dieth in them for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die? Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? So the question is asked, is God equal? Is God fair? And if you know this context, and I don't have time to read the entire chapter, but I encourage you to do it on your own time. The context is what? God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. People say, oh, God has pleasure sending people to hell. That's the biggest lie, and it comes directly from you know who? From our adversary, Satan. And if he can get people to think that God is unfair and God is not equal, then he can get people to turn away from God. And the atheist today, or the agnostic today, the person that denies God, and even the person that says, oh, there's not even a God. I don't know if there is a God. I can't know him. I can't have a relationship with him. Those people have said in their hearts, God is not fair. And I'm so thankful and I'm so proud of everyone in here today, because all of you have gone through some things that I can't even imagine, and yet you've come back to God and said, God, I don't understand it all, but I still praise you. I still love you. I'll still serve you. I'm still here this morning. Amen? And that's where we're at. And so thinking about that today, as we go through some of the storms of life and even in between the storms, as I've said before, the question comes up, and three primary things that we must deny and we must keep away from us from thinking or believing is, one, is God fair? Secondly, does God care? And thirdly, will He leave me in despair? You like that, right? That's pretty good, isn't it? Does God care about me? Is He fair? And will He leave me in despair? We got to put all three of those out of our mind, as we saw in 1 Corinthians, casting down imaginations. And we say what? God, I trust you. Okay? So the first thing this morning, is God equal? Well, you know the nation of Israel that came and they said, God, you're not equal. God, you're not fair. God, you're not just to me. I'd encourage you to read through the Psalms if you haven't lately. Maybe a psalm a day or a proverb a day especially. It's greatly encouraging to the believer. And we need to spend time in Scripture. You know that. Daily time. Some of you may be struggling with some issues of life. You're maybe struggling with making some decisions right now. As we've been studying on Sunday nights, I'd encourage you to come back tonight, this evening at 6 o'clock. We're looking at discernment, the discernment of the believer. You know, the average person today has zero discernment. And some of you that work with people, you know that. You work out in the community, you know that. Zero discernment. You probably shouldn't have put your hand right there. You know, you probably should not have taken that. You probably should not have drunk that much last night. Okay. No discernment. And that's what God says. We need to know what God wants us to do. And the nation of Israel, anyways, coming back to, says, you're not fair. God, you didn't care for me. God, you don't care about us. And God returns and says, you're the one that's rebelled against me. You rebelled against me. If you're still there, go to chapter 20. Go to chapter 20, verse 8, Ezekiel chapter 20. Again, these are good verses in your Bible you should underline and circle and highlight. If you're in the habit of doing that, you should be, by the way, taking time to study your Bibles. Chapter 20, verse 8, notice, but they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, notice that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they are, in whose sight I have made myself known unto them and bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Did you catch that? God made himself known to the unbelieving heathen world, and God's people came in and corrupted it. He made himself known to the unbelieving world. That's why we should never say, oh, they'll never listen to the gospel. They'll never receive one of our tracts. They'll never come to church if I invite them. Don't ever say that. God has revealed himself to that person that you don't know about. In some way, they're going through some tragedy or something where they're searching for the truth, and they need you as a friend or a coworker to come by and say, what? Hey, wanted to let you know, I'd like to have you in church with me. Come sit with me. The preacher's not very good, but just come sit with me. Come sit. And you think about that. And God said, I made myself known to them, but you ding-dongs came along and corrupted it. You polluted it. You went along with their sin when you should have stood out in that group of people as being a righteous person. Now, anyways, I'm saying, first of all, God is fair. God is just. I'm reminded of the incident in John chapter 21. You don't have to turn there. But John 21, you remember what happens? Jesus comes, he came back from the dead. And he came out, he was on the seashore, and he was cooking some fish and bread, and they were out fishing, and they look out and they say, and John says to Peter, I think that's the Lord. Peter says, oh. So they get down, they jump into the water, they go up to the seashore, and sure enough, it's Jesus. And Jesus is telling Peter, and what's he say? Peter, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love? Three times. Because Peter, what? Denied him three times. So Jesus said, I want you to, do you really love me? Peter says, yes. Well, then Peter says this. He turns around and points to John and says what? Well, what about him? What's he going to do? Right? What's he going to do? What was Peter saying? Lord, you're not being very fair to me. You're picking on me. You know, you're really getting on me, but what about him? And what's Jesus say? He completely avoids the question and says what? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's a good thing to memorize. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know, the problem that I have most of the time is I compare myself to other people. Do you do that? I said a few weeks ago, the problem with social media is what? It's all about comparison. Because he's better, he's stronger. Look at their family. She's better, she's prettier. Look at what they have. They have more money. They have it all together. And by the way, I said it's all fake, isn't it? They look like Ken and Barbie, but they're not. They're all messed up. Tom Brady and his wife couldn't hold it together. You look at them, they look like, don't they, Ken and Barbie? And you're going, man, they got everything. Good looks, money, fame. What happened? Fell apart. Fell apart. You think about that. And he says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. Get your eyes back on Christ and stop worrying about what she thinks and how she looks and what she says and what he looks like and what their marriage is doing. Doesn't matter. Who are you responsible to? Jesus Christ. Who will you answer to? Jesus Christ, him alone. And you think about that this morning. Is God fair? Yeah. Why? Because he's concerned about you. He never once in my life has said, Tim, you compare yourself to them and then I'll bless you. You match up to them and then I'll bless you. No, it's a standard. One standard we have, it's this book. One standard. Isn't that wonderful? One standard. Everybody follows the same standard. We must never compare ourselves to others. And Jesus offered no explanation. He just said, follow thou me. Is God fair this morning? He's absolutely fair. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you more than any human being will ever love you. He cares for you more than any human being could ever care for you. That's what I often think about. He convicted me about that the other day once again. He said, Tim, I love your kids more than you could ever love them. You get worried sometimes, you know. Lord, what if I'm not influencing them and leading them? And he says, calm down, do what you're supposed to do, follow me. I love them and care for them more than you ever could. And that's something very special. And God cares for you. He is not fair. In fact, everything He allows into our lives as we talk about the storms that come is, again, I said, for His glory and for our good. God knows how much you can handle. And everything He allows is for your good. Now, secondly, then, does not only is He fair, but secondly, does He care? Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Might as well. Mark chapter 4. Does He care? Does He care for me? Mark chapter 4, you may know where we're going here. This is when the disciples or apostles get out onto the water and the storm arises, doesn't it? Mark chapter 4, we'll start, let's go to verse 38. Verse 38, and He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow. By the way, storms don't bother Jesus. He's in control. And they awake Him, saying to Him, Master, we trust You and know that You're in control and You're all-powerful and all-knowing. Does it say that? This is exactly what I say. Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Do You not care? Is what the audacity of the apostles? Now remember, they had just seen all that God had done. The Lord Jesus Christ had done some miracles. They went out onto the sea. They knew who He was. They claimed to know who He was. They claimed who He was. Remember, because Jesus will later say, who do they say I am? Well, they say that you're you're raised from the dead, one of the apostles or one of the prophets. You're John the Baptist, maybe. Or you're someone. He says, then, who do you say that I am? See, it's a personal thing. He says, you are the Christ. Do you not care about me? And when we come to a storm, you just came out of a storm, you may say, does God care? You're in between a storm, say, well, does God even care? You may have just you're about to go into a storm. Does God care? Absolutely. He cares. He cares for us. I understand and know that. Do you not care? And verse 39, He arose, got up out. Don't you hate it when people get you up out of bed when it's not time to get up? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Not little faith, no faith. They had no faith. And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Do you know God allows us to go through some storms so we get to realize and understand who He is? Because without it, listen, we don't begin to care about what God cares about until we're dealing with the cares of life. We really don't. When we got money in the bank and the kids are healthy and the marriage is so-so and everything's going pretty good, we don't really care about what God cares about. We care about what I care about. I care about what I care about. I'm interested in what I want. But when we go through some storms and we have cares of life that enter in, what happens? We start to then get concerned about God. Does God really care? Does God really care? That's why I encourage you. Have a strong and healthy, consistent relationship with the Lord all the time. 365, 24/7. Not just when you need Him. How many people do we know and how many times have I done? We just use Jesus Christ as a spare tire, don't we? Oh, got a flat tire, get it out. We need Him. No, have a strong relationship with Him. When you go through these things, you can say, not Master, carest Thou that we perish. You can say, Master, we know You care. Do you not care? No, we say the flip of it. We know You care. Therefore, we will be strong in faith. Therefore, we will hold out. Therefore, I will remain faithful. Do you not care? You know the story maybe in Luke chapter 10 in particular where Martha is cumbered about with many things. And He says to her, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about a lot of things. They're good. That's good. You're working hard. But He says you need to care for the things that are important. And Mary hath chosen the good part. Where was Mary at? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping the Lord, spending time with the Lord. We ought to be busy for Christ. We ought to be serving Him all the time. We ought to be faithful in our witness and our testimony and our church attendance and all of that. But we also ought to prioritize the worship of the Lord. How much time did you spend in the Bible last week? How much time did you spend in prayer? I get the report. Do you get the report on your phone? I get mine on Sunday morning that says how much time you spent on your phone. I hate that thing. I've told you before, I hate that. I don't know how to get rid of it because I'm not real tech savvy. I need my wife is good at that. I don't like that. Your average was up last week, some percent. I said, shut up. I don't want to know that. I'm so glad this book don't do that. Amen. All right. How much time do I spend in the Bible? Oh, my friends, I think about how much time we sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said, you care about the wrong things. You care about the wrong things. John chapter number 10, verse 13. Oh, I didn't write it down. Let me go to it. John 10, verse 13. He talks about this care. John 10, verse 13. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. He's a part-time worker. And what? Careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Oh, that's us. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. They shall be one fold and one shepherd. Did you see that? A hireling doesn't care. He's hired to do a job. He knows he's getting a paycheck, so he doesn't really care. If the sheep get out of the gate, oh well. They run off. I don't have time. I'm not paid to go after them. I'm paid to stay here. I'm not paid to go out and do some extra work. I ain't doing that. You got to pay me to do that. God says, or Jesus says what? I care for the sheep. I'm the one that's going to lay down my life for the sheep. I'm the one that loves you. Oh, he goes to the great I ams in this chapter. You ought to read it. He cares. He cares for us. He loves us. He desires that we would follow His will and stay close to His side and know Him. And then he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, oh, wonderful text. 1 Peter 5, go there with me and underline this. 1 Peter 5, you know maybe what it says, I'm sure. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care, underline that, upon Him, for He careth for you. Isn't that wonderful? He careth for you. Since God cares for you, He wants you to cast all... That's not a normal relationship. A normal human relationship is what? You give me your cares, but I also in return am going to give you your cares. But usually, we don't care about each other. He says, cast all your care upon me, because I care for you. Since I care for you, I want you to give me all of your cares. I want you to put everything upon me. You say, that doesn't sound very fair, and it's not. Yet God is fair. On our part, we're not fair. On our part, we're unjust. On our part, we're self-centered and we're proud, aren't we? And Jesus said, I want you to give me all that you have, casting it all. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning or this week, or you may not be dealing with much at all, but those of you that are, inevitably all of us are, you know that. I want you to cast your care upon the Lord. How do I do that, Brother Tim? You need to spend time with Him. Get alone somewhere and pray to the Lord. Lord, help me. It doesn't have to be complicated. Lord, help me. Help me. The psalmist says, Lord, help. Help me. The lady that came to Jesus one day, her daughter was sick and was dealing with horrible diseases and she was even possessed. She said, Lord, help me. That's all she said. Help me. And ask the Lord to help you. And then give Him all your cares. You say, I can just list a bunch of problems I have? Can I? I asked the question a while back. Can we vent to the Lord? Is it okay to vent to the Lord? Absolutely. Obviously, be reverent and don't use foul language and other things, right? But be very, very, very reverent, but vent to the Lord. Lord, you know what I'm going through. You know the tragedy. You know the difficulty. You know how they treat me. You know I can't stand that person I have to work next to. You know that. And give it to the Lord. Why? Because He cares. Okay, so He's fair. And yes, He cares. And thirdly, does He leave me in despair? Will He leave me hanging? How many have had somebody leave you hanging? Yes, they've left you. You had a relationship and they left, or you had a parent leave you, or you had a child leave you. I don't know what it is. there's despair in it. Oh, the despair that comes. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and he says, the despair that can often happen in life, and Paul's going through and talking about all that he's gone through to get this church the gospel, to get them the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Oh, Paul says, listen, it's all for the glory of God. If we could come back to that conclusion in our lives, that it's all for the glory of God, it'd greatly help us. Easy to say, hard to do. I know that. But he says, we're troubled on every side. You know the story of Paul, I'm sure, but he was persecuted, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was things we can't talk about in church, just taken advantage of. He was imprisoned. Ultimately, he was murdered for the glory of God, for the sake of the Lord. But he says, we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're troubled on every side. That's the storms of life, but not stressed out. That's another way to put it. We're not stressed out. That's what he talks about to the churches at Colossae and Thessalonica. And he says what? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That means let the peace of God be constant in your lives. Although the storms come and it's up one day, Mondays are good, Tuesday's bad, Wednesday's a little better. You know, that kind of a week. There's the peace constant. And it's not that you're walking around jovial and high-fiving everybody and you love life. No, you're sober, you're vigilant, you're a somber person, you know the Lord, but you have peace inside. You have peace inside. Then he says we're perplexed, but not in despair. That word perplexed means confused. We're confused about what's going on. One of the biggest issues that people will leave God and the church is because they get confused about who God is and the way He's working in their lives. And they go through the difficulties of life and the storms of life. And what do they do? Well, I don't know what God's doing. I don't understand it. Why would He allow me to go through this? Why would He challenge me? Why would He take that away from me? They get perplexed and they leave. But notice what he says, but not in despair. We're not in despair. We're not throwing our arms up. I'm in despair. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to handle it. You know what I'm saying. We're troubled on every side. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. The persecution comes from that without, from people, from the adversary, but notice we're not forsaken. We say, God, are you here? Do you care? I haven't forsaken you yet. Cast down, but not destroyed. Not destroyed. Paul says, listen, you may go through some things and you're going to be challenged. And he says, I want to give you an example of this very thing. Again, I go throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation and think about all the saints and all that they've gone through. And my friends, we have it pretty good. We sit in a building today, pretty good. We have our health, at least some health, pretty good. You and I that may know of people that have lived or do live in third world countries, some of you have traveled outside of our borders before, and you've realized how good we have it in America. I mean, how good we have it. And you think today, if you bring it into perspective of how, man, we do go through some distresses. We do go through some despairing times. We are persecuted from time to time. We know that, but we also know how good we have it. And God's always been there for us. Oh, always been there. The first family that was in existence, Adam and Eve, had to deal with the death of a child. And the death of the child came by their other child. That's even worse. And the reality hit them of the sin that had entered into the world. We go a little further and we see that. A man by the name of Joseph was abandoned, as we studied already. And he was forsaken by his brothers and actually thrown down into a pit and left for dead. And later on, Joseph would come back and say what? Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. I know that it was your intention to cause evil to me. How many people know that? There's brothers, sisters, friends that have caused evil in your life. Their intention was evil. But I know God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day, to bring much people alive. You think about that. You go throughout Scripture again, and I have a list, but I won't go through all of them. Of what people have gone through Just to bring back to perspective here this morning, you're going to be challenged with things today. You're going to go through storms of life, but remember this, friends. God does care. God is fair. God cares, and He will never, ever leave you in despair. Never. But we have to put forth an effort, don't we? The relationship is both ways. Somebody said something to me the other day. I haven't heard from you in a while. I said, door swings both ways, doesn't it? And you read, doesn't it? Some people, well, I haven't heard from you in a while. Yeah. We got to think, it goes both ways, you know. It goes both ways. And we think our relationship with the Lord goes both ways. God is constantly working in our lives, yes, but He wants us to make an effort as well. He wants us to put forth a little bit of effort as well. He wants us to take some time in the Word of God as well. He wants us to spend time in prayer as well. Taking time in your marriage to pray together. Taking time with your children. Praying together. Working together. The biggest attack today is upon our home. We know that. The biggest attack today is on our marriages, I dare to say. Because if He can get us divided, right? House divided against itself can't stand. And you're playing a very dangerous game if you're fiddle-faddling with things outside of your marriage. Because your marriage will begin to slowly crumble. And when that crumbles, everything else goes. I want to encourage you to get close to the Lord in your marriage. I know it's hard to do. It's embarrassing. Maybe it's difficult. You'll have a little chuckle from time to time when you ask her, can we pray together? She may faint. I know. Help her up. You help her, right? I'm being silly, but seriously, take some time in that and work towards that. Practical things. Take some time alone with the Lord personally. At your lunch break or some time. I don't know. I know most of you in here work tirelessly. You hardly have any time. I know that. But take some time alone with God. We've got to have it. Prioritize that in your life. Prioritize that. And say, God, I want You to use me. And then let me close with this. As Paul says, you've gone through some things in order to comfort other people who are going through the same afflictions. The reason God allows you to go through certain things, one, is to get to know the Lord better, to realize who He is. But also that you can take that and use it to help other people. Isn't that wonderful? To use it to help other people. That which you were comforted with, you would take and comfort someone else with. And so many people just waste the storm. Waste it. And those disciples or those apostles on that boat, that little boat they were in that day, they ended with the conclusion of this. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? You didn't know who he was before? Apparently not. You saw all the miracles, you saw the bread and the fish, and you saw the things that happened. You saw him heal people with just a touch. With this spoken word, he would speak, healed. And now they say, well, what manner of man is it? Why? Because they went through a storm. They went through a tragedy. They went through something. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know we go through things, and it's easier to talk about than to do. What we see here, God is fair today. You don't serve a God who's unfair. You deal with people who are unfair. You are unfair to other people. I am unfair to other people. I'm unfair. It's all about me. God is not. He is just. He is fair. He cares for you. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He cares for you. And thirdly, He will never, ever leave you in a despairing state, in despair. He loves you too much. He cares for you. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day to handle that. By no means of embarrassment, but you can pray that prayer to yourself right there where you're seated. I'd love to take the Bible and just share with you about 5, 6, 7 minutes how you can know the Lord as your personal Savior after the service. I'd love to do that. That's the first step. Do you know Him? Today would be a great day to do that. Secondly, are you living for Him, walking in His will? Do you know the will of God? I'd encourage you, if you have time, come back tonight. We're going to study some of that, looking at discernment and the will, with the will of God and in the way of God, knowing God's way and understanding that. Do you know Him? Are you close to Him? All right? Stay close to Him, my friends. He will never forsake you. He'll never let you down. We have a friend, the Bible says, that sticks closer than a brother. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. I love reading the Bible and hearing the wonderful promises of the Lord. Anyways, I'm praying for all of you. I do. I pray for all of you. And I hope that you have a good week ahead of you. And I hope the Lord will bless. But again, remember, God's here for us and He wants to use us, doesn't He? Use each one of us. You're not a waste. God wants to use you in His will. All right, I'll stop there this morning. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to share Your word. These people have been so faithful, Lord. I thank You. I ask that You'd help each one of us a great reminder to myself this morning. Often when we go through things, the thought arises, the question comes, do you really care? Lord, are you being fair to me? Are you picking on me? Are you picking me out of the crowd for some reason? And the answer is no. You love us unconditionally. You want to use us. You want to, in a greater capacity, really. I pray you'd help us this morning, guide each one of us. Guide us in our walk with you this week. As difficult as it seems to get time alone with you, help us to do that. Strengthen us through it. Be with our children, be with our marriages, be with our church, Lord, and guide us into our community to be an effective witness for you. We love you again, and thank you for allowing us to be in your house today. In Jesus' name, amen.